Very pleased to welcome back to the show right now, Jeff Olin. Been doing a fabulous job for them at Vision Capital, investing in real estate throughout North America. Jeff, appreciate you finding time for us.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, let's start with just this, just to introduce people. I hope they know Vision Capital because the track record has been incredible. I'll allude to that a little bit because it deals with my first question. And that is, okay, I mean, real estate's been a hot topic. We've got these record low interest rates making borrowing for real estate more attractive. We've got a lot of people doing that. But I want to talk about doing that through the stock market compared to sort of, I'm going to buy a couple of condos.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of advantages as to what we do, which is, as you say, we buy real estate through the stock market as opposed to the property market. And the first thing is the core and heart of our strategy is that we look to buy real estate that when you look at the underlying real estate in the public entities is trading at a discount to the value of the collection of the real estate. So by definition, you can't buy real estate at a discount in the property market to the property market. And vice versa, shorting names, we can short stocks to take advantage of real estate that's overvalued in its share price relative to the value. That's one key advantage. Secondly, you got liquidity. You don't have anybody calling you in the middle of the night to fix the heater. You can diversify by geographic region and by property type, whereas most real estate investors invest in their own backyard, which makes sense, but we can invest, as you said at the outset, globally. North America is our focus. And you can move. I mean, we went from being bullish Alberta to bearish in Alberta in 10 days. It's hard to do that if you own a bunch of bricks and mortar.
Actually, we had a lot of examples of that recently after the Brexit vote. You know, those private, they had some private real estate funds that really suffered because of redemption, because obviously it's tough to sell your real estate 10 minutes later. You know, got a group of people saying, I'm worried about the results of that referendum. I want out. Well, that's not so easy. So they stopped actual redemptions. Very different, as you're saying, by the way. And I don't want to go on about this because I got to get some more opinions on the markets from you. But still, the liquidity thing has really jumped out at me. For example, it's just like a stock. You want to get out of something. I mean, it's far less expensive and you can do it very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, Brexit is a perfect example. You've got all these private REITs in Canada, United States. You've got these funds. You know, people think because of their brand name that, you know, you've got, Aviva and large standard life funds and people plow into them. They're big and, well, you know, I got quality. I got these major institutions. But it's a fallacy. It's always a problem when you have the structure of a fund, any type of fund, mismatching the underlying investment strategy.
Jeff Olin is with me, co-founder of Vision Capital. You can find them at www.visioncap.ca. One other thing, just I'll get to the fund in a second in the real estate market, but one other thing that you get to do that I think is basically essential nowadays is you can go both long and short in your strategies. Because I know when you first came on here with us, it's at least 2 years ago, you said, hey, look, I don't like Calgary. I don't like the office market there. And so you were giving us an example. You said, you know, I'm playing Dream Office REIT to go down. You'll find this humorous. I'm just finding that recommendation in some other services right now. But you've been on that for a while. But it's a real advantage, though, I mean, to make money in that down market.
It's key. I mean, we were short Dream Office REIT for 4 years, and there was nothing wrong with their assets per se, nor the management. But we looked at, 7 million square feet of new office space being built in Toronto, 5 million square feet in Calgary, where they're concentrated. Every office market in Canada, including Vancouver, your home, is in overbuilt. So too much supply, not enough demand. And in Dream's case, they suffered from a misalignment of interests with an external management contract, which incented them to grow, not necessarily grow profitably, but grow. So they bought all these buildings in the wrong markets at the wrong time. And that's an advantage. And people said, well, how do you short a $34 stock that has a 7% yield or a 6% yield? And they say, how do you short a $25 stock that, you know, has an 8-9%? Well, you know, they announced a $700 million write down on Thursday of this week on a market cap of $2 billion. So, you know, we were early, but we've told your listeners in the past, don't be seduced by yield, and this is a poster child.
Let's talk a little bit about let's not being seduced by yield, because of course in this record low interest rate environment, someone looks at what they got in their savings account, so they want that yield. And what do you mean when you say don't be seduced by that number?
Well, one of the advantages of real estate investment trusts is the yield. It's increasingly important as we have an aging population and people rely upon that income. But don't buy anything at any time based on yield. You must look at the underlying cash flow, what's being generated, and how much of that cash flow is being paid out in terms of yield or dividend on a forward-looking basis. And so people are attracted to high yields, but often there's a reason for high yields. And so you got to look at total returns. Last year, in 2015, the Canadian REIT sector had 3 months, May, August, and December, where the stock price went down over 5% and destroyed the yield for the year 3 times. So, and every year this happens. We're having it this month, in fact. This month, I think the REIT sector in Canada is down over 3.5% so far, and we're now in the middle of the month. And so you got to look at total return. And that's really the key. And, the Globe and Mail had this article this week profiling all these REITs that had high yields. Well, we'd be short most of those REITs.
Yeah. I just, again, bring it back for the audience. Think about this. They're paying out 7% dividend, but it's 100% of the cash flow they got. That's not a recipe for success going forward. I got to take a break, Jeff. I got so many questions. We'll go through which kinds of real estate you like. Whereabouts is it? Because you're both in the States and in Canada. Jeff Olin is my guest, co-founder of Vision Capital. You can find more on Vision Capital at www.visioncap.ca. More with Jeff on the Money Talks Network. Coming up, I've got a great shocking stat for you. Oh, to be young again. Well, maybe not. My shocking stat in just a few minutes' time. But right now, Jeff Olin is with me, co-founder of Vision Capital. You can find them at www.visioncap.ca. But I'll give you a number, 220%. 220%. That's the rise in Vision Capital's Opportunity Fund, the Vision Opportunity Fund. That's just from July 2nd, 2008 to June 30th, 2016. Just to give you an example, though, the TSX had gone up 27.4% in the same period, 220%. I think a lot of that is to do that they can go both long and short, pick markets they like, take advantage of markets they don't like. And Jeff, that's what I want to talk about for a second here, is markets you like and markets you don't, or types of things. I'll just throw a couple out as an example. What do you think about multiple family apartments, for example, in Canada?
We like apartments on both sides of the border. You've got some powerful demographic and secular trends. You've got 66 million Americans between the ages of 18 and 34 years of age, and the millennials, they live in apartments. When my parents got married, my parents are in the 80s. They got married 20, 21 years of age. Now young adults got married 28, 30. They live in apartments. Mm-hmm. My parents had 4 kids by the time they were 25. Now young adults have kids 28, 30, 32, 38. Mom, I think I still have a baby. Lifestyle value choices. They don't care about saving money for houses. They want to have the latest iPhone and the best internet streaming package. You go to restaurants. All leading to rental residential. Everybody knows about the seniors. Seniors aging in the population, living in apartments. So we like apartments. And in most markets in North America, supply and demand is in balance.
That's what you'd be looking for, is the imbalance between supply and the demand for those markets. I love that, by the way, the exposure. Obviously, you've done very well with your exposure in the States because the Canadian dollar's fallen. So it's not just been a hedge. It's actually been a big moneymaker on that side. Let me just go then to things like industrial warehouses, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, another sector we like, there's a fairly new TV show called Orange is the New Black. Well, Orange is the New Black, industrial is the new retail. We're cautious on retail because of the impact of e-commerce, and industrial real estate is the beneficiary. Logistics space, warehouses, both sides of the border, in fact, globally, we like that space. It's a growing space, and it's just an attractive space to be stable, reliable, predictable, boring. Wonderful place to be invested.
You know, one of the areas that I like, but I'm not doing with the level of sophistication you are when you're approaching the markets, but I kind of like retirement stuff, as you just alluded to, and it's been, you know, obviously a big topic. It's not a topic of conversation to the degree I'd like, the aging population, because we ignore the impact on healthcare, we ignore the impact on public sector pensions, but still, we kind of get that we're all getting older. I'm leading the way there. What do you think of that kind of stuff, like retirement residence or healthcare, or am I a little bit off base there?
No, I think you're right on. I mean, a couple aspects. One, it fits into my earlier comment about the fact that we like the rental apartment space. Another great thing about it is financing. You get the apartment owners, landlords, give access to cheap and accessible mortgage financing because of CMHC in Canada and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in the United States. Even in the depths of the credit crisis, apartment owners, as opposed to other forms of real estate, could access cheap financing because of the government guarantee. Same in retirement homes, you can get CMHC financing. And it has the other benefits of multifamily, but as you touched on, it has an extra benefit of higher growth because the leading edge of the baby boom turned 65 in 2011. None of us are getting any younger. People can afford this stuff, and there was a bit of oversupply a few years ago that sorted out. So we like that space, and we've seen a big M&A activity in that space, and taken out a couple of Canadian names already in the last 12 months. But there's a couple of Canadian names left, Chartwell and Sienna, and we're invested in both of them. We like the space.
Just a quick take on Albert. I know this is always tough. I mean, I always say I'm like the Barbara Walters of the financial set because I say in 25 words or less, but still, can you give me a hit on Alberta?
Yeah, I mean, we've again, it goes back to your initial comments. One of the advantages of what we do is we identified early on, we didn't know oil prices were going to crater. Let me be clear about that. But we saw too much oversupply. We're cautious in Alberta. The office market is going to be bad for a long time. You got 20-plus percent vacancy rates. Rents are come down about 70%. We don't have the demand. You're going to see Class C office buildings in Alberta demolished, destroyed, for put into land so they don't have to pay the tax. Maybe they put them in a parking lot or build a residential. We're cautious in Alberta, and we can do something about it, unlike those in other forms of business or real estate, by being short, and we're short on Alberta.
Let's go to BC for a second. I mean, obviously, it got a ton of play. The 15% foreign property tax that came on, does that change your mind on BC? How do you figure it, or you didn't like it anyways?
No, I mean, we like BC, we're not really impacted by single-family residential, to be clear, in our fund. But in terms of our big-picture understanding of the markets, it ain't going to work. It's a flaw. It might be attractive politically. There's a label, Tobin tax, which is a tax on speculation. You're not going to have a material impact on that issue by trying to artificially constrained demand, which has all kinds of loopholes people are going to get around. The only way to deal with a problem like this is supply. Environmentalists, we're environmentally sensitive, but you've got these huge swaths of land, agriculture reserve lands out there, and it might be political heresy, but is it really environmentally sensitive for you to build all these highways and infrastructure so people drive by these agricultural lands to go, you know, miles and miles away, build occasionally, public infrastructure to get there as well, subway? Wouldn't it make more sense? You got a lot of land out there in BC to make those reserves farther out and increase the density and have more dense population closer to the urban center. That's a more efficient and environmentally sensitive way than motherhood of having these big swaths of land. And you, one way or the other, you got to increase supply, not artificially constrained demand.
We're very short of time now. And you mentioned Chartwell Retirement Residence, Sienna Senior Living, both of them listed on the Toronto Stock Exchange. Can you give me one or two other names?
Sure. We like SL Green. This is a $12 billion market cap, New York Stock Exchange listed. All office buildings in Manhattan, net asset value about $135. You can buy that at 12.5% discount in the stock market. unbelievable. One of the best companies in the world. We talked about industrial in Canada. We like pure industrial. Has a 5.8% yield. Trades around net asset value. Will be a big winner from GICS, Global Industry Classification. We talked about last on your show. New index classifications. A lot of money going to flow in the REIT sector. It has started in May. It's continuing. And they're the only institutional quality industrial player in Canada. Pure industrial.
Let me come back to Canadian Apartment REIT and what do you think of that and the Irish residential properties?
Yeah, again, we love it. That's the largest residential REIT in Canada. Very strong management. Tom Schwartz and his team there are doing a great job. They sponsored the first and only Irish Apartment REIT. I've been over there a couple of times. We hold it in a fund. Another public company, IRES, is a symbol. Incredibly quality buildings, but CAPREIT has over 50% of net operating income from Toronto apartments. The implied cap rate of the real estate in the public market stays about 5%. And if anybody knows anything about apartments, apartments in Toronto are trading below 4%, similar in BC. And so we think the stock is cheap. It has a 4% yield, a $4 billion market cap. You can sleep at night owning CAPREIT.
Just very quickly, are you still short of the Dream Office REIT? Because you've done well so far. As you said, you've been on that trade for 4 years. You were early with it, now being, as you say, just this past week, they're writing off $700 million.
We are. We covered 90% of it in December, thinking maximal pressure would be tax loss selling. They had this big announcement in February, the new business plan, where they really did cut their distribution 40%. We shorted it again on that. We think it's early. We think it's the third inning here. We think they're going to have to cut their distribution again. They're going to hold on for a long time, maybe, but we think it's inevitable that yield today is going to come down. They're overpaying their distribution. They got problems not just in Alberta, but they got a lot of buildings in Toronto on the around the airport corridor that's got 20% vacancy rate. Their net effective rent.
Jeff, we'll have to leave it at that. Sorry.
No worries.
We're cutting out on the satellite. So much great stuff. www.visioncap.ca. Jeff Olin, co-founder there. They've had tremendous performance, 222% since July 08 to June 2016.